Dustin, this wireless one, just in case Brother Johnson wanders off. We want to make sure we can hear him no matter where he runs to. All right. And so, looking forward to this night. Come on up, brother. You can go ahead and get this, whatever you got to do. It's on right now.
It is a pleasure being here with you all as I get situated here. Like he said, my name is Jeff Johnson. I'm here with my wife, Rebecca Johnson. We are third-generation missionaries to the country of Brazil. And you saw the video this morning, or most of you did. And I won't go through that whole thing again, but my parents have been in Brazil since 2005, and they're still there doing great work. The Johnson clan, as we call ourselves, was very predominant there in Brazil. My grandparents have been in Brazil for about 50 years, coming up on 50 years now. I have two uncles in Brazil. My dad's there in Brazil, and then me and my brother are headed to Brazil. So we have a big legacy of missionaries there in Brazil, and that it thrills my heart. And we always say that we're going to reach Brazil one way or the other. And so I plan on encouraging that throughout my generations, and I hope they'll continue on. Go ahead and open your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. I'm going to keep on talking while you do that. Just get there. Well, we get to Brazil, we're going to be working with the deaf there in Brazil. The deaf, I think it's a very underreached group, regardless of where you are, whether you're here in the States or there in Brazil or anywhere else, but I know there in Brazil it's a very underreached group. The entire country has about 211 million people, and about 7 million deaf and hard of hearing amongst that group. And the city we're going to is the fifth largest city in the world. It's a population of 22 million people. It's a huge city, and you can drive for about 2 hours and never leave the city. And it's a lot of fun for me. I'm a city boy, and so I love that. But amongst all of that, there's about 500,000 deaf and hard of hearing that need the gospel. In the entire country, there's about 4 deaf churches total. And so it's a huge need there in Brazil, and so we're really excited. Because of that, though, I will ask that you add a little special prayer for my wife. She not only has to learn Portuguese, she has to learn sign language, she has to go through 2 language schools, and so she's got it rough. I only have to go through the one. I grew up there, so I know Portuguese, and so I'm a little bit luckier. But I don't have to, or I don't get to get away from language school. I still have to learn the language. Now, the sign language there in Brazil is different. We don't do ASL there. We have something called Libras. It's a relatively newer sign language based off the Portuguese language there. Luke chapter 10. We're going to read just a couple of verses here. Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them 2 and 2 before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come here and to worship you, to have fellowship with the brethren, to have a good time. And I pray that you will open our hearts, that we can hear your word. I pray that you will fill me with your spirit, that I can preach what you want me to preach, and Lord, that you can just fill this place and be a blessing to somebody here. I pray these things in your precious name. Amen. Now this verse here, Luke 10:2, has been used. I've been in a lot of missions conference, a lot of missions meetings, and this has been used quite a lot as I've gone throughout. And I'm fairly certain that somebody in here has heard the message about missions from especially verse 2 here. And verse 2 has a very famous phrase. I used it in my video. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. And I think that that statement today is probably more true than it was 2,000 years ago. I heard recently that the world's population just exceeded 8 billion people. That number is unfathomable to me. It's a huge number. But Christians don't really fill in that gap. Let's be really honest here. The laborers are few. Now that word laborers there, that doesn't just mean Christian. It's not talking about any old Christian. We're talking about a harvest. We're talking about laborers, workers, people who are gathering that harvest. That harvest is lost souls. Those laborers, therefore, are soul winners. And while Christians do not close that gap, the soul winners, even less so. It is a very sad thing to me. Just a little bit ago, he was talking to me about the number of people in the city of São Paulo, 22 million people there. My wife did some math just a minute ago. If you reached 100 people a day in just one city, 22 million, it would take you 603 years to meet everyone in that city. 100 people a day. That's the work of many, many people. And it would still take several lifetimes. The United States is a very blessed country, I believe. Your pastor is down in Florida on vacation. And I think that's a great thing. Vacation is a very needed thing. And he found a church. We have the photo evidence of it. I don't. He does. You can go anywhere in this country and find somewhere to go to church. Amen? Good church. Not some Catholic church, not some Lutheran church, not some Jam for the Lamb church. A good church. Anywhere in this country. Small cities, big cities, you'll find it everywhere. Middle of cattle farm, you'll find it. Middle of Chicago, you've got it. We're a very blessed country here. I believe that Brazil is a blessed country. We are sent through BIMI. BIM is a mission board. They help us with a lot of things, paperwork and all that kind of stuff. Now, I know there's a lot of different mission boards and there's independent missionaries, but through BIMI, Brazil has 26 missionaries. We have more missionaries in Brazil than any other country through BIMI. I think that's a wonderful thing. That's a great blessing. But that's 26. Brazil is deceptively large. 211 million people, Brazil is about the size of the United States. It's actually larger than the 48 continental. If you take away Alaska, Brazil's larger. It's huge. And if we take that number, 26, and let's double it for the sake of other mission boards and native pastors, 50 missionaries. I want you to really let that sink in. 50 missionaries in an entire country the size of the USA. How likely would you be to have a church near you? That's one church per every state. One. If you put a church in the capital city of each state, that's the only one. Think about that. How far is it to the capital city here in Ohio? I don't know that distance off the top of my head, but it's not close. Now, if you live in that capital city, you've got a better chance, sure. But are we really going to drive 3-4 hours? What about those in Texas? You drive a day and not get to the capital. You have to leave on Saturday. Come back Monday. 4-hour weekday. It ain't happening. There's a huge need. We are the most blessed. Throughout all the rest of South America, the next closest is Peru with 7 missionaries in the entire country. Not a single country in all of Europe has more than 5. And Asia, as a general whole, is just a nightmare to get into. North Korea will kill you on the spot if they find out. China will deport you. All the Muslim countries, that's a toss-up. You could die, you could be thrown in jail, you can get kicked out of the country, you can get all 3. There's a huge need. But we do nothing about it. I've seen missionaries come into Brazil and leave within the year. I've seen them leave within 4. I've seen a couple stick through. 26 missionaries in Brazil, a great number of them, very bluntly, are going to die soon. They all came with my grandparents, and they're getting old. They don't have much longer. And within the next decade, that number is probably going to be cut in half because there's no new blood. And the same goes for a lot of other countries. In 20 years, missionary force of this world will be cut in half because they're all too old. You see here in verse 2 something very interesting. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Colon. It's not a period. He's not done. He continues on. And the next word you find in this verse is very unique to me. Pray. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. I think that was put there on purpose. There's a reason God says pray here. You'll notice in verse 3 he says go. Go. But first he says pray, and I think that order is on purpose. Prayer is a huge thing that I think we as Christians overlook a lot. We as missionaries have a particular sense of it. That's why you'll never find a missionary without one of these. A prayer card. An entire piece of paper dedicated to the entire concept of prayer. You'll never find a missionary without one. I've got an entire pocket full. My wife's got them in her purse. We've got them on our table. I've got them in my car. They're always within about 5 feet of me. Why? Because prayer is important. Prayer is important. And it does a lot of things that we don't realize. Why do we pray first? And what do we pray for? God tells us to pray that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And we talked about the fact that these aren't just Christians. We're not just praying for new Christians. We're talking about soul winners. Pray for soul winners. Prayer is a very powerful thing. If you pray for soul winners, God's going to give you soul winners. You'll get more soul winners. Say, God, bring this church more soul winners. You know what? Pretty soon you're going to have more soul winners. You hear that prayer. But something really interesting about this, when you begin praying about something, you begin thinking about that thing. You begin praying for souls, you begin thinking about souls. When you think about something long enough, you begin to grow a heart for that thing. I am a Brazilian. I am a dual citizen. I have both American citizenship and Brazilian citizenship. I grew up there in Brazil. I know the culture there. I love the culture there. I love the food there, the weather there, and I love the sport there. Brazil is a soccer nation. Brazil loves its soccer. You cannot spend much time in Brazil without somebody bringing up soccer. Much in the same way you can't spend much time here in the States without somebody bringing up football. Why? Because we love it. I love soccer. We just had the World Cup. And if you let me go on, I will talk about that World Cup. I will talk about Brazil's performance and its very untimely and unseemly defeat. I have not watched a whole lot of rugby. I don't think I've ever seen a full game of rugby. I cannot talk about rugby. Why? Because I don't think about rugby. I don't care about rugby. When we begin praying for souls, we begin thinking about souls, we begin caring about souls. When we begin caring about souls, suddenly, that soul winner we've been praying for comes out of us. We become what? The answer to our prayer. And this is why we pray first. Then he says, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. You get that heart. A heart like Christ. Jesus looks over Jerusalem. He says, oh, I want them all in heaven. Everyone. And as you begin to pray and you begin to go, you get that heart and you say, I want them saved. You begin seeing the problems that they face and you begin to realize, I've got the answers right here. Nowadays, there's so much talk about all of the political problems in the world, especially here in the States. Talk about abortion. Talk about the LGBTQ. Talk about all these different problems that we face in the world today, and people are just out of their mind. The answers are here. We all understand that. We get that. We don't do anything with it. As you pray and get out there, you say, peace, I've got it. You're having financial problems. Let me help you. You're having relationship problems. I've got it here. You get a heart for souls like Christ does. We don't need to change government. We don't need to change people. We don't need to change all of whatever it is. We just need to give people the gospel. They need the gospel. They need this book. They need the Bible. And unfortunately, Satan has convinced us that serving God requires giving up. I have heard many times on deputation, oh, you have sacrificed so much to be a missionary. Congratulations. If I might be so blunt, I ain't sacrificed nothing. I've seen sights that you all wish you could see. I'm an Air Force buff. I love the Air Force. I love planes. I've been inside a fighter jet. Because I'm in the ministry. Because I'm serving God. My favorite animal is a wolf. I love wolves. They're hard to see. I've seen them. I've traveled this country to and fro. I've been in Maine, I've been in California, and everywhere in between. Meet people all across this place. What have I given up? I given up. But we are convinced that serving God is to abandon something. That God is some kind of judge who's looking at every action we take to, you got it wrong. We're going to get you down. We sing songs like we just sung here. You are always good. That line right near the end, you are always only. We take those lines and we say, yeah, that's true. I got saved. That was good. That's it. That's what God did good for me. And if I serve Him fully, if I give myself to Him, those lines don't really apply anymore. I have to give up my life. And Satan has convinced us that God is harsh and that He's not always only good, that He is sometimes kind. The psalmist, David, is a very interesting person. And in Psalms 136, we see something very interesting. Now, David was known as a man after God's own heart. David loved people like God loved people. I want you to notice this. I'm just going to start reading this. Psalms 136. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him who alone doeth great wonders, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endureth forever. 26 verses, each one ends with that little phrase, for His mercy endureth forever. David gave his life to God, and in the end he said, God, what a great God You are. You see, Paul later on, doing the same to Timothy. Keep the course. Paul at this time is in prison. He's been killed. Not just beaten, he's been killed and brought back. And he says at the end, oh, Timothy, you keep going. God's got you. What is it that they saw? They gave it up. Everything you think you're going to lose, they gave it up. And in the end they said, ooh, I am so glad I did this. I regret nothing except my failures for Christ. Thank God that God is good. They had a heart for souls. And they said, this is the life. This is the life you all should have. You'll notice in verse 1 of Luke chapter 10, if I can find it. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face in every city and place whither he himself would come. This commandment to go, to pray, to soul win, this isn't a commandment for pastors. This isn't a commandment for missionaries or people in the ministry. This isn't an assignment, a commandment for everyone. 70 unnamed people. It's a church congregation. Everyone in here. Now, certainly we as missionaries practically have soul winning as our job description. But it's not just ours. 22 million people in the city of São Paulo is a huge task. And even at 100 people a day, like I said, that's 603 years. It's a huge need. But you know something? São Paulo is not the only place with a need. Byersville, Ohio has a need. This area around you, it has a need. I don't know how many people live here. I don't know how many people live within, say, a half-hour drive. But they need Christ. There is a huge need across this world. People aren't just going to hell. They're going to hell on earth. Divorces, abuse, alcohol, drugs, you name it. Problems galore. We look out and we see so many problems. If you stop a minute to think, as you watch people go by, think, what are you going through? Some of them it's easy to see on their faces. Some of them it's not. Now I want to encourage us tonight to begin taking those steps. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not saying you're going to be a phenomenal soul winner tomorrow. But you can take a step. You can grab a track and hand it out. Drive-thrus and gas stations. Grab five and say, I'm going to give one out every day this week. It's a simple step, but it'll build a habit to something. I used to hear preachers say, there's somebody out there that only you can reach. And for a while I didn't believe them. And I figured if I can reach somebody, so can somebody else. If I can present the gospel to somebody, why can't pastor? Gospel works regardless, right? That's mostly true, except for one little flaw. There are people out there like me. It may surprise you to know that I'm actually an introvert. And there have been days when I have decided that I'm not going to talk to people. And people have come to my door and I said, nope, you can go away. Bye-bye. And then there are people the exact opposite of me. Extreme extroverts who say, I'm going to party every single day, and they're never home. You work with people. You live with people like that. Interact with them on a daily basis. But nobody else will. The statement's true. There are people in your life that only you can save. Not because the gospel would be ineffective from somebody else, but simply because nobody else is ever going to meet them to give them the gospel. Let's get out there and give them the gospel. One step at a time, beginning a habit, day by day. Like I said, it won't be easy. You'll have days when you get out there and say, I do not want to go today. I've had that. I've gotten out there, some church, said, I am not up for this today. Please don't make me go. But every time I get out there, regardless of how I feel before, I come back and say, that was a good day. I never come back saying, well, that was a waste of time. I should have stayed home on the couch. Let's get out there. Let's present the gospel. Say, I don't know how. Then ask someone. The gospel's all in here. You just got to read it. You read it a couple of dozen times, you'll get it down. Practice makes perfect. I highly doubt any of you went into your first job knowing exactly what you were going to do there. But you figured it out because you did it. Let's start doing it. Let's get out there. Go home tonight. It's a quick prayer, Lord. Send somebody to be a soul winner and give me a heart for souls. It's an easy prayer. Pray it on the way home from church tonight. Just don't close your eyes. Fast and simple. Start a habit. Let's get out there. Paul changed the world. He flipped it on its head in 2 years because he got out there. What can we do in Byesville, Ohio if we just get out there? Just one step at a time. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your loving care for us and pray that you will help us each day to have just that little bit more of a heart for you, Lord. And I pray that you will help us to begin thinking about souls just that little bit more each day. That we can gain a heart like yours and a love like yours. I pray that you will help this church to be a beacon and a light to this area of Ohio. Just bless. Pray these things in your precious name. Pastor.